It's not the table of this church, and so you don't need to be a member of this church. And if you know the Lord, no matter what church you come from, then you are welcome and invited to know the table of the Lord together, to partake and join in together. The Lord tells us that we are to consider ourselves. We are to consider if there's anything that would hinder us from coming to the table of the Lord. And so we're going to take just a quiet few moments of preparation time. It's a time for us to examine our heart. Scripture says if we would examine our heart, then the Lord has no need to judge us. So let us take a few moments to prepare our hearts, make sure everything is right between us and the Lord. We're reminded of your words, Lord, through the Apostle John, who has said that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we confess our sins. We confess that through Jesus, we have placed our trust in him, and he has taken the punishment and the penalty for our sins. We believe it, Lord. We put our faith in him. And we thank you for forgiving us, not just once, but that we live in forgiveness every day. And so we enter into that forgiveness, Lord, in a fresh, renewed way this day. We thank you, Father. And we celebrate now this beautiful time of remembering the broken body and the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. He told us that we are to do this, and we are to remember him. We are to remember the very basis of our salvation. So today, Lord Jesus, we remember you. We remember your passion, your struggle, your broken body, your blood poured out, that we may be forgiven and drawn into new life in relationship with you and the Father. We thank you for the gift of your Spirit who comes to dwell and live in us, who makes things all new, transforms us day by day. We rejoice today, Lord. Perhaps you're here today and you've not yet put your faith in Jesus Christ. And what a beautiful day to do just that. To open your heart and say, Lord Jesus, I want to know you. And so I open my heart to you and I invite you to come in. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Make yourself real in me and through me. I'd like to lead us all in a prayer. If that's you, and you've never put your faith in Christ, you've never invited him in, what a beautiful day to do just that. We're all going to pray together to encourage you to put your faith in Christ. If you pray out of your heart, you will know the reality, the miracle of the risen, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ and the new life that he has. So pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe your Son, Jesus, died for me, for my sins, my penalty, my death. I put my faith in him. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to forgive me, cleanse me, Make me new. Come into me and live through me. I believe you are the resurrected Son of God. And I trust you and commit my life to you. And I'm going to follow you all of my days as Lord. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. It's that simple. It's not simplistic, but it's that simple to put your faith in Christ. Oh, Pastor, I just don't understand all everything in the Bible. There's just a lot. Who among us does? I've been studying the Bible for decades, and there's still times that I'm scratching my head, understanding, trying to understand what it means. But you know what? The simple truth of the gospel of Christ can be understood by a child. So if that is you today, we welcome you to the family. If you prayed that prayer, we welcome you to the family of God, and we welcome you to join in at the table of the Lord. But if you didn't pray that prayer, if you know you needed to but you didn't, if you're not ready, it's okay. That's okay. But the Lord tells you to allow the table to pass. Don't just do this as a ritual, but allow the table to pass. Don't participate if you don't believe. Don't make a mockery of what is very precious to God. He gave His Son, His only Son, for you and for me. And so just as a word of instruction, the way we celebrate communion here at Island Alliance Church is that we come forward by section. If you'll exit out on your left, come forward to the server in your section, receive the cup and the bread, and then come back to your seat on the right and hold the elements until everyone has received. And then we eat the bread and the cup, drink the cup together, because the Scripture tells us there is one body, one Lord, one faith, and we celebrate the oneness of Christ. Let us receive the elements and celebrate together. Amen. Stand.
shed blood.
This unleavened bread represents the body of Christ. And before we serve it to you, it is broken. It's broken into little pieces. And that breaking up of the bread represents the breaking of Christ's body on the cross for us. And then we have a cup of juice. It represents the shed blood of Christ. And I know that throughout church history, this has been celebrated for thousands of years. And I know that in some traditions, it's become a bit of a ritual and things have been added to it and so on and so forth, but it's not about that. These are just symbols, but it's the reality behind it that Christ, who is alive, has shed His blood and given His body for us, for you, for me. I don't know about you, but I hope that overwhelms you. I hope that that strikes you to your heart, that He would die for one such as me. And so we celebrate. We don't stay in a sad attitude where we're miserable for the rest of our life. No. We celebrate the goodness of God. That's what this is. Amen? The goodness of God. And so let us remember the broken body of Christ. He said, do this in remembrance of me. We remember your broken body, Lord Jesus, given for us. Let us eat. And then we have the cup. God has said that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So that's why there had to be a shedding of blood. And Jesus shed His blood so that we could be forgiven. He said, take and drink and do this in remembrance of me. We remember your shed blood, Lord Jesus. Let us drink together. Take a moment in your heart to thank the Lord for what He's done for you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for sending your Son. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for me. Thank you for rising to new life. I'm reminded of that ancient hymn that comes out of Philippians chapter 2. You may know it as a song, but it comes from Philippians 2. Let's sing it together. If you don't know it, just listen. You'll catch it the second time around. It says, He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Sing it again to the Lord. You are Lord. You are Lord, You are Lord, You are risen from the dead, and You are Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus, You our Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. God is good. Amen. Amen. I trust that you will have that kind of sweet communion with the Lord every day. every day. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for your service. If you will close the elements. We're going to get into the scriptures together. There is not children's church today, I believe. Right? There is not children's church. There are some children's bulletins on the back desk, if that is helpful to help with the children. Thank you, brother. We're going to stand and read the scripture together. We're reading from Luke. It is chapter 6. There's a typo in the bulletin. It's chapter 6, and it's just two verses. So would you stand out of respect for God's Word? Let's read together. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Verse 38. We have some new software, and we're working with it. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. The Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. You may be seated, and I'll ask Ashley to come and pray over the Word this morning.
Lord God, I just thank You for my brother and for his heart for Your Word. And Lord, he comes now to give it to us. Oh, we're ready, Lord. Prepare us, Lord, for these moments that we'll spend in Your Word. Lord, open our hearts. We want to hear, Lord, and not just be a hearer, Lord, but to be a doer. Lord, to find application in these words, Lord, in Your living Word, so we can share with our community. Lord. So bless our brother, Lord, as he comes now. Fill him with Your Spirit to overflowing, that will get all over us. We ask in Your beautiful name, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If you haven't yet turned to Luke chapter 6 in your bulletin, or excuse me, in your Bible, then please do so. And also there is in the bulletin an outline that will go along with the sermon and the PowerPoint, if you find that helpful. We're continuing our series in the Gospel of Luke. We are preaching on Jesus the Messiah, how Jesus has come and revealed Himself as the Messiah, the Anointed One of God, and how He came and ministered, how He came and revealed Himself and taught, how He came and revealed Himself as God's one and only Son. We've been in Luke chapter 6 for a few weeks, and this morning there's two verses that I want to talk about. Let me tell you a story by way of introduction. And this story happened in another culture. You have to understand that this particular story happened in another culture, because it may seem a little shocking to you if you were to just think about it in our culture, but this story happened in another culture. There was a church, and the church was having a dinner together, as we often do. We often will have a church dinner and gather together for this. Well, this church was having a dinner together. And the people were gathered together, and they had a guest of honor. This guest of honor was a well-known preacher. And he came, and he was eating with them. They were all having a wonderful time as they fellowshiped together, as we often do at our church dinners. Well, there was a very religious man who was in that group of Christians. And that very religious man noticed that a woman came in from outside, came into the church dinner. And the first thing you notice is that she was dressed very inappropriately, and especially for church. She was just not dressed appropriately at all. And because of the way she was dressed, he already began to form an opinion in his mind, a judgment about what kind of woman she was. And then this woman did an outrageous thing. This woman went over to the guest preacher. The guest preacher had worn sandals that day, and he took his sandals off as they were sitting around the tables, just very informally. Well, this woman went over to the preacher, and she bent down, and she took some cologne and began to put this cologne, this perfume, began to put it over the preacher's feet. Everyone was shocked. What is she doing? As she was putting this cologne, this perfume on her feet, on the preacher's feet, she began to weep. She began to cry. Not just a quiet weeping, but a great sobbing. And the tears were just flowing down her face, and they were falling off her face and her chin and dripping onto the guest preacher's feet. Oh, everyone was shocked. What is she doing? How could this be? And of course, this religious man, of all people, was indignant. Where were the ushers? Where were the deacons? Why were they allowing this? This is awful. And because she was dripping her tears onto his feet, she took her long hair and she just began to wipe the tears off his feet. And then, even more incredulously, she bent further and began to kiss his feet. Oh, the people were mortified. They didn't know what to do. And this religious man just couldn't believe it. He just could not believe what was happening. And he said to himself, this preacher must not be very spiritual. This preacher must not really be in touch with God. Because if he knew what kind of woman she was, he wouldn't be letting her touch him and anoint his feet and, of all things, wipe his feet with her hair. And at that moment, the preacher turned towards that religious man and he said, I have something to say to you. And the man kind of was shocked. He hadn't said anything out loud. He was just thinking these thoughts to himself. But the preacher, it was as if he could read his mind. And he said, I have something to say to you. Well, this story is a true story that comes from Luke chapter 7. And the preacher is Jesus. And I'll come back to that in just a moment. But in this passage that we have before us today, and from that story in Luke chapter 7, what Messiah Jesus is teaching us is that we are not to make unrighteous judgments. We are not to condemn, but rather we are to forgive, and we are to give grace. We are not to make unrighteous judgments towards people. We are not to condemn, but rather, we are to forgive. We are to give grace to people. You see, this is the heart of Jesus. This is what flows out of His teaching, the main teaching that we are to love. We are to love. Do not judge, Jesus says, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. And what saddens me so often is that how easily, how flippantly we disregard the Lord's words. We all do it, don't we? We all judge. We all condemn. We withhold forgiveness. And in so doing, we do not receive forgiveness in our own heart. Do not judge. Do not make an unrighteous judgment. Why did Jesus say this? Why did He teach this to us? You know why? Because we are so prone to do it. And some of us are more guilty of it than others, aren't we? Some of us did it this morning as we came into church and we saw a particular person. Maybe we don't even know them, but we looked at them and said, oh, what are they doing here? I wouldn't embarrass you by asking anyone to raise their hand. But perhaps somebody did that this morning. We are not to make an unrighteous judgment like this. And when Jesus uses this word judge, here's what he means. The word judge here is to distinguish or to decide, and by implication, to condemn. You are standing in the place of judge and making a judgment. You are looking at a person, and you are standing in the place of judge. And by implication, you are condemning. What does it mean to judge this way? Because does not the Scripture say that we should judge, especially judge fruit and judge behavior? Well, let's look at that together. What does it mean to judge in an unrighteous way? Here's what it means. Unrighteous judgment is judging the value of the person based on their actions, their attitude, or their appearance. Unrighteous judgment is judging the value of the person, their worth, condemning them based on their actions, their attitudes, or their appearance. Now, to be sure, we are called to evaluate fruit. The Scripture here, in fact, later here in verses 43 through 45, not only gives us that responsibility, but urges us that we are to evaluate fruit. Look with me at verses 43 through 45. These are Jesus' words. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree will be recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man, I want to stop there. And so we do make a determination on behavior, on fruit. We can be fruit inspectors. I can go up to this particular fruit tree and take one of the pieces of fruit off it and say, oh man, this fruit is rotten. There's something wrong here. What I'm not allowed to do is say, you know what, this tree is worthless. Cut it down. Get rid of it. Why do we even have this tree here? Now I've passed from judging fruit to judging the value and the worth of this tree. And you know what? We do this all the time. Oh, look at that person. I thought they were a Christian. You don't know how many times I've heard that. Well, such and such person, they did this to me, and I thought they were a Christian. Well, we're going to see that we have no right to judge things, especially when we do them ourselves. Can I get an amen or an oh me? We're judging other people, but we're doing the same things ourselves. In fact, Jesus has a very big concern about this issue of judging above many, many sins. Many, many sins. So yes, we are called to evaluate fruit. We are called to evaluate actions. We can judge behavior without condemning the person. We can say that a particular behavior, a particular attitude, a particular action is not good. Brothers, can I get you to turn the house or the stage lights down just a little bit? Thank you. But as we look at this command, let's break it down, and we're going to see some things here in this passage, and there's a parallel passage in Matthew chapter 7. We're going to see that there's a personal component involved here. There's a personal component involved in this. Let me explain after we read the Scripture. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. And our dear brother Roger Weiss is going to read that for us. We're so glad that Roger and Pat are here worshiping with us today.
Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way that you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you.
Thank you. The same measure. You see, there's a personal component here. The same measure by which you judge others, God is saying, so you will be judged by that same measure. You want to be a judgmental person? You want to be a fruit inspector? Baby, you better get ready for it yourself. We don't take Jesus' words seriously. You know, we just disregard His words and say, oh, you know, that person, man, they're just worthless. Because they've done thus and so, because they dress a certain way, because they have this, because they have that, because they've done this, they've done that. And you know, we are setting ourselves up for judgment. Because we don't believe Jesus' words, but He says here, the same measure by which you judge others, so you too will be judged. I want to tell you something, folks. I do not want to be judged by my standards. I do not. Oh, Pastor, I thought you were, you know, so godly and you're so holy. You don't know me very well. You need to talk to my wife. And she'll tell you, it ain't so. And I don't want my standard. I don't want to be judged by my standards. You know what I want to be judged by? I want to be judged by Christ's standards. And I fall on His mercy and I fall on His grace. Now, please understand me. That does not mean that I am not going to confront sinful behavior. You all know that I do that. You all know that I will get in your face. I don't like to do that. I don't look to that, look for it, but I will when it's necessary. And I'll say, brother, sister, you know, this is an issue. But I never condemn. I don't want to condemn. Because we are told not to do that. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be judged. So therefore, I've got to be careful that I'm not judging others. And you were so quick to do it. Well, let's break it down. Let's break it down. And we're going to see if there's additional reasons why we are not to make unrighteous judgments. Let's break it down. Number one, we are not to make unrighteous judgments or to condemn because only God is the one who can righteously judge. We are not to judge, make unrighteous judgments or condemn because only God is the one who can righteously judge. Only God has the right, listen, only God has the right and the ability to judge righteously. Only God can. First of all, God created us. We belong to Him. And so, we don't have the right to judge those that belong to another person. And that, what I mean is, to unrighteously judge and condemn. I don't have the right to do that. And you see, when people do that, and when Christians do that, I believe God's heart is grieved, deeply grieved, when we judge people this way. I'm going to show it in your scripture. It's not just my opinion. Only God has the right to judge, and we belong to Him. Number two, we cannot see a person's heart. There's three under number one. So this is two under number one. We cannot see a person's heart. We do not know their motivation. I've had some people to say to me when I've challenged them about that, yes, I do. I know what their motivation is. Wow. Really? You know what a person's motivation is, huh? So you're God. You can see in a person's heart. Scripture tells me that only God can truly see into a person's heart and know a person's motivation. You know what? Scripture actually says we don't even know our own motivation. We don't even know our own hearts. How can I know someone else's? I don't even know my own very well. A lot of times God has to reveal my own heart to me. You know, sometimes I can be thinking, oh man, you know, I'm doing pretty good here. You know, walking the Christian walk here. You know, walking the walk and talking the talk. And all of a sudden God says, man, you've got a bitter root in your heart. You've got resentment in your heart. You've got unforgiveness in your heart. And you're like, what? Really, God? And you know what? Back in the back of our minds, we already know. We know God is right. And you're like, you're right. I was talking with somebody not too long ago, and we were just talking about the need to forgive. And as we talked a little while, I said, you haven't forgiven that person. Oh, yes, I did that. Yeah, I've forgiven them. I said, no, you haven't. You haven't forgiven that person. Well, why do you say that? Because you just brought it up right now. Jesus says, forgive and forget it. Let it go. You see, if we're bringing something up again and again and again. And you haven't dealt with forgiveness. You haven't dealt with the need to let it go, to release that into God's hands. And so only God knows our motivation. Only He can see into a person's heart. Here's a scripture. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Nothing is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we all must give an account. God is the only one that can see into our hearts. Therefore, He is the only one that can judge righteously. There's really two sermons here, and I can't preach the one because I'm already on the other. But, you know, this really has to do with us thinking that we can hide things from God. You know, you cannot hide anything from God. He sees past everything. He sees past our words. He sees past our actions. He sees past our attitude. He sees right into our heart, and He knows exactly what is going on in our hearts, motivation-wise, intention-wise, considerations. He knows it. See, that's why there's really only one course, and that is to be honest with God. That's the only course with God. You've just got to be honest with Him. And see, when you're honest with God, then God can begin to work in your heart, in my heart, and begin to change it. As long as we won't admit it, as long as we keep fighting with God about our hearts, He's just going to step back and wait till you're ready. Oh, I thought God, you know, He has His purposes and He has His will, and He's going to work it out in my life, whether I agree with Him or not, whether I work with it. Oh, no. Oh, no. Sometimes He'll go around you. He will wait for you to deal with yourself, to finally come to that place of brokenness and yieldedness and surrender so that He can work with you. But sometimes, until that happens, He'll go around you. And you will miss the blessings that God has for you. That's just a mini sermon in the middle of the sermon. Let's go right on, move on. Third, God is the lawgiver. God gave us His law, not you, not me. Not the church. Not the Protestant church, not the Catholic church. Not the early church, not the Israelite people of God. They did not come up with God's law. God gave it to us. He is the lawgiver, and so He is the one who is the judge of those who break His laws. Not us. Not you. Not me. James 4:12. Joe Smith is going to read that for us.
There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor?
Who are you? Oh, I thought we were supposed to judge, Pastor. I thought Christians were supposed to judge. We judge behavior. We don't judge the person. You see it? God's the lawgiver. He's the judge. He's the one who has given His law. He will judge a person if they're breaking His law. Ultimately, every one of us has to give an account to God. Now, I can go to you, my brother, I can go to you, my sister, and say, you know, there's an issue here. There's an issue here. Are you aware of it? Do you see it? You need to get this right with God. But what I can say is, you know what? You're sinning. You're condemned. You're going to hell. You're worthless. God's not interested. He doesn't like you. He doesn't love you. I can't say those things. What am I doing? I'm being the judge. I'm being his lawkeeper. He doesn't need you to be a lawkeeper. He's given you and me a charge. Go and share the love of God displayed, poured out through Christ. Go and share His love. Now, I understand there's got to be some bad news before there's the good news. I understand that. But man, we focus on the bad news so much, don't we? We're right there. We get stuck right there in the bad news. I don't want to be like that. How about you? I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be a person when they think of Tom that, he's a judgmental person. I don't want to be like that. I hope you don't. I hope you have the heart of Christ where you know your own, you have an account of yourself, a right account of yourself. You know yourself, and therefore, you don't want to be judgmental towards others. Let's press on. This is extra credit. We're not going to have time to go into this. Extra credit. Romans 2, verses 1 through 4. I encourage you to go home and read it. Here in a nutshell is what it says. Since we, too, are subject to sin, since we, too, are subject to failures and mistakes, we have no right to judge another person on the basis of theirs. Number 2. Rather than judge an unrighteous judgment and condemn others, no, we are to give to others forgiveness and grace as it's been given to us. We are to give grace and forgiveness as has been given to us. Jesus said it, forgive and you will be forgiven. Forgive. Why? Because you have been forgiven in Messiah Jesus. Give grace. Grace is an undeserved thing. And so we just have to comprehend this. Sometimes as Christians, especially if we've been in the church, been in the Lord for a long time, we begin to think that we're worthy of His grace, that we somehow have arrived, you know, that we're holy enough. You know, I've gotten rid of all my bad habits. You know, I don't drink anymore. I'm not using drugs anymore. I'm not using foul language anymore. I'm not smoking anymore. I'm not chewing anymore. Or whatever, you fill in the blank. And we think that somehow we have arrived, that we're worthy of God's grace. My brother, my sister, you are never going to be worthy of God's grace. His grace is a gift, a free gift. For it is by grace you are saved, through faith, and this is not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, lest anyone should boast. And you know what? Sometimes we start boasting, thinking that we're worthy of His grace, and we are not. We are never, never will be. We are only worthy of death and separation, which our sins have brought us. But God, in His graciousness, have given us His grace, given us His mercy, given us His forgiveness. And we are to act towards others the way God, in Christ, has acted towards us. That's the bottom line. We are to act towards others as God in Christ has acted towards us. So does God deal with us with our sins? Yes, He does. But He never condemns us. If we are in Christ, then we are forgiven. Our sins will affect our fellowship, but they never affect His love for us. Aren't you glad for that? Can you say amen to that? You're not, God's love is not given to you based on your performance. Oh, Pastor, I thought if I was doing good that, you know, then God loved me. But if I'm not doing good, if I'm messing up and I'm sinning, I'm failing, you know, I thought, you know, God didn't love me. He was angry with me. No. That's not the gospel of grace. You are loved because of the beloved Jesus. If you are in the Beloved, then you are loved. And He's taken our sin and He's removed it away from us, as far as the east is from the west. And so we are to give this way because we have been given this way. And therefore we are to live this out. We are to live this out. Now, when Jesus says here, watch this, you still with me? Say amen. We're almost done. We're coming to the home plate. Jesus says, verse 38, my glasses. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, so it will be measured to you. You want to know why some of you live a very trying to be very careful with my words. Some of you live with very little joy in your lives. Some of you live with a sour face. Some of you live with a spirit that repels people rather than draws people. Some of you have a countenance that says the opposite of the joy and the love of Christ. I'm not looking at any particular person. Please, I know many of you come to me, Pastor, you were preaching to me, weren't you? I'm preaching to all of us. I'm preaching to myself. You've got to realize I've had 2 weeks for this to have to sift through me. And there's a reason for that. And that is because you have not yet learned that with the measure you respond to others, or you give to others, so it is measured to you. We don't believe it. We don't take Jesus at His words. And you see, some of us are so judgmental towards others. In a moment, we will be on them. And you wonder why you struggle. You wonder why you don't live in the joy of the Lord. I am so glad that God has helped me to understand the revelation of His love and His joy so that I can just pour that out to other people. You know, I don't like to have to deal with somebody with sin in their lives or issue that's going on. I don't like to do that. I'll do it, but I don't like to. Because I'm living in His grace and His love. I know myself. I know what I do not deserve. I do not deserve His love. I know it. I don't deserve His grace. And therefore, I have a right account of myself. And therefore, I can be towards others as Christ has been towards me. You see it? I am to be towards others. And when He says a great measure, what happened is in those days, the robe that they would wear, they would have an extra fold in that robe. And they would take that fold up and they would often get grain or produce into that fold of their robe. And that's what He's talking about, the measure. He says, the measure that you have, that you give, so is the measure you will receive. You see, some of us have like 2 or 3 little grains down in the fold of our basket there. Just got a couple, 3 little grains, you know. We're just not receiving the grace and the mercy and love of God into our own lives. And then how can you give it out if you don't have it in your own life? I want to have that thing just overflowing. I want to have that thing so full of the love and the mercy and the grace of God that, man, if I bump into you, it spreads out all over you. Pastor, what's that stuff all over, man? That's the grace of God. That's the love of God, man. He's like, get away from me. I know. I know I make some of you nervous. I come here, I want to give you a hug, and some of you are like, I don't like that. I know. It's okay. I'm trying to learn to be sensitive. But I'm filled with the love of Christ. And I want to share that love. Matthew 5:7, Jesus said, blessed are those who are merciful, for they will receive mercy. I want to be merciful. I don't want to be judgmental. Maybe you're here today and you know that you're struggling with this is an issue for you. I think some of us need to find an altar of repentance. See, some of us, we're going to go away from this sermon. We're going to go away from the Word of the Lord and forget me. Forget what I'm saying. But take Jesus' words. Don't just walk away from this morning. But take His words to heart. Take His words seriously. And some of us need to make an altar of repentance before we leave this building today. Because we have failed in this area. We have been judgmental towards others. And if you walk out of this building and just put God's Word on the shelf, oh, that was another nice sermon, Pastor. I'll put it in my file. I'll peer with the rest of the dust. You're going to go away unchanged, untransformed. But if you'll make an altar of repentance, say, God, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like that towards others because You have been so gracious towards me. So back to the story. This preacher who had his feet anointed with perfume, cologne, and then the tears that fell on his feet, and then his feet wiped by the hair of this woman who was a woman who had lived a very sinful life, we're told. And Jesus, rather than speak to the woman, he addresses the religious man there, the judgmental man, and he says, I have something to say to you. And the man says, what, Jesus, what? And Jesus said, this woman has been forgiven much. Therefore, she loves much. You see, to the measure that you understand, you comprehend how much you have been forgiven, so it is the measure that it will flow through your life. The love will flow out. This woman knew how sinful and broken she was and that she had been forgiven. And she was full of joy. She couldn't care less about what you and I thought. She wanted to go to the one who had forgiven her and pour out in the best way she could and knew her love on Jesus. And he says to the man, he says, the one who has been forgiven little loves little. Because that judgmental man was loving very, very little. Did that mean he'd only been forgiven a little? No. What it means is that he didn't really understand how much he'd been forgiven. See, he thought he only needed to be forgiven a little bit. And then, baby, he was all set. Oh, no. Therefore, he loved little. So Jesus says to you and me, don't judge. Love. Love and give mercy and grace. Pour it out. That's been poured out on you. We're going to pray in just a moment. And if you feel the need to come and make an altar before the Lord, if you need to come and do business with God, you do that. You do that. If you're more concerned about what other people think than about coming and making an altar of the Lord, then you're already defeated. But if you know you need to come, you need to make business with God, you need to get this right, you come as we pray. Let's pray. Father, we confess, Lord, that we have failed in this so very often. We have judged others. We have taken the place of judge that is only yours. And so, Lord, we ask you to forgive us. Lord, may we continue to understand the revelation of your love and grace, how it's been so poured out on our lives that we can do nothing else but pour it out on others. Lord, help those of us who, especially those of us who are just real hard black and white thinkers and we just don't, we struggle with things. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. Help us, those of us who have this tendency to judge. Lord, help us. Lord, these that have come forward, strengthen them and pour out your grace. For you have said, a humble heart, a humble and repentant heart, you will in no way despise. So, Lord, do your work. Do your work. Let's stand together, please. Stand together, please. I'm going to ask Brother Roger Weiss if he would dismiss us with a benediction.